Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Monday, August 29th, 2011. And as you can hear from my voice, I'm not Bill Buckmaster. I'm Shelley Fishman, and I'm your guest host for Bill during his vacation this week. Bill's up in Canada somewhere enjoying the cooler weather, and we wish him a very relaxing week or so. The Buckmaster Show airs every weekday on KVOI AM 1030, along with our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. The Buckmaster Show always streams live on the web at www.buckmastershow.com, where you can also find archives of previous programs. Plus, thanks to our agreement with the online Tucson Sentinel News Service, you can hear us anytime at www.tucsonsentinel.com. This week, during Bill's absence, we'll focus on one central topic, one topic all week. Are Tucson and Pima County good places to do business? If not, why not? And what can be done to make it better? We've got a great lineup of guests this week, each with a personal or a professional stake in addressing this week's central topic. We'll see how well I do at keeping them on point. So here's the lineup for today's show. It's Monday. It's noon. It must be a political standoff, face-off between Bruce Ash, Arizona's Republican National Committeeman, and Vince Ribago, former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. Then at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Democratic councilwoman and candidate Shirley Scott with us for an in-depth interview. Later in the week, we'll be speaking with her Republican opponent for that seat, Tyler Vogt. So right now, I'd like to introduce both Vince Ribago and Bruce Ash. And you know the question. You've heard me say it. I'm going to start. Let's see. Is Pima County, is Tucson, a good place to do business? Vince.
Hi. I think it is certainly, I've seen changes over the last number of years. There have been a wide variety of oftentimes generalized, I believe, assertions that, oh, that's not a good place for business. Mm-hmm. But when you press people, rarely do you see many specifics. What I have seen in the last number of years, I know that, for example, the city of Tucson has changed the certificate of occupancy rules with respect to businesses and the timeline that and the process by which that is done, therefore making it easier. And you've seen some tangible results. I've been to a number of different business forums that have been put on by some of our local leaders, at least at the city council level, that I've seen to either provide information, to take input, which of course is probably even more important, from the business community on what can we do better. Folks like Ernie Duarte in the city who are there along with elected leaders that are taking information and actually telling this is what we have done. And then I think what we've seen, like, for example, downtown, you see TEP, you know, on the cusp of finishing their brand new building right downtown. You've seen individuals like Fletcher McCusker downtown promoting. We've seen the streetcar project, which is in process. And I know there was just a development or a forum the other day about what some of the stops are going to look like, not only to help businesses, but to show things that will attract people.
So I see
a lot of positive things. So, you know, the reality is that I'm a small business owner myself. As of last year, had business owners in my family way back when. I think I see positive things. I think there's always room for improvement on any score, whether it's a county, state, or local. But what I don't want to see happening is people driving away business by making these proclamations that are sometimes self-fulfilling prophecies.
And, you know, we're going to get to that in a couple of seconds. But, Bruce, I take it you have a somewhat different perspective.
Well, no, I think that Vince and I would generally agree on this point. We can be doing a lot better here in Tucson and Pima County. You know, we operate commercial shopping centers in and around Tucson, Phoenix, Flagstaff, Sierra Vista, Albuquerque, and elsewhere. And Tucson is one of the most difficult places for a retailer to either open up that second business or, in many cases, even get that first business open.
I'll give you
an example. A shopping center here in Tucson had a thriving Chinese restaurant in that location for many, many years. They observed all of the, you know, Tucson city codes, all the Pima County health codes, and new owner came in and the city required, and by the way, there had been some successive business ownership, so it's not as though the same guy had owned that business for many, many years, and you know they had not had sort of the brunt of new enforcement on them. But this new person came in, probably had to spend, instead of $25,000 preparing that location for occupancy, it was closer to $60,000. Really put him behind the eight ball, because you know most new capital ventures are somewhat short funded.
Absolutely.
And in addition to that, took much longer. It took about 3 to 4 months longer. I think closer to 4 months longer. And this man, who's struggling hard with him and his wife and their family to make a go of it, is really having a difficult time.
So,
that's a very good specific example.
But what I guess I'd like to get to is, what is it that caused him to spend $60,000 rather than $25,000?
Mainly plumbing changes that the city now mandated. Other inspection requests that they made. One inspector would overrule the last inspector. Even with permitted plans, the bureaucracy that exists is really quite formidable. I think, again, I'm not going to be specific to Republicans or Democrats.
No,
I think both parties are equally culpable in this area. Too oftentimes, politicians are beholden to the bureaucrats that actually run the place. And they know a politician comes and goes, an elected official comes and goes. These guys are in the entrenched bureaucracy, and they're going to do what they're going to do, and they're always looking for more stuff to do.
Vince, is there something about our weak mayor, strong city manager form of government that is helping to cause, assuming that you agree that the problems are as Bruce articulated them?
Well, I don't know that I agree that we are in such a situation that that we are terrible. If that's what the implication is, that we are just moribund, that we have nothing happening, that there are no positive changes, no, then I would disagree with Bruce for some of the reasons I already stated.
We needed more improvement. I didn't say we were.
That's a very generalized statement. That's why I'm always cautious with Bruce, because we'll start off very generally and then comes in with a lot of other examples.
Well, that's why
Vince, the
fun,
devil's
right?
always in the details.
That's exactly right. That's why I'm being cautious.
You know, I hate to bore you with facts as I normally do.
Yeah.
There we go. I knew we'd get it heated.
Well, not from my end. We're here just talking about good business policy, and I support that. The reality is when we're talking about some specifics, and we talk about the bureaucracies, I've been to those forums. I don't know if Bruce has been going to them. I've been going as a small business owner. I've been seeing and hearing about those positive changes, whether it be the changes. I believe there's been 3 changes in the land use code. So maybe some of these issues that we're talking about in terms of what you can do, what you can't do, those are things that have been changed. We see a positive development. We see the new Costco that went up down in, I think it was Councilman Fiembris's district, mm-hmm. not too far off of Campbell. So we see development happening, and we see positive changes. We got to speak to the positive that we're seeing and see, look to what you're asking about. For example, what are the root causes of this? Have there been bureaucratic issues in terms of, like, let's say, how hard it is to get something? Yes, I spoke to one of those. I believe the certificate of occupancy. There, the elected leaders, Republican and Democrat, listened to the business community. They changed that, and I've seen business owners speak positively. Thank you for doing that. This is great. So I'm looking to talk about what is positive, and if there are issues that need to be fixed, let's hear from the business community. Let's see what can be addressed.
And we'll be hearing from the business community all during this week, including a forum of all 8 Chamber of Commerce presidents on Thursday. Bruce, I'm going to give you the same question because you might have a slightly different take on it. I grew up in an East Coast city in New York, where the idea of a weak mayor and a strong city manager is just not known. Is there anything about our structure, that our political structure, that contributes to the problem?
Well, I think if you were to ask former I think they're both deceased now, but former Mayor Lou Murphy, as well as former Mayor Jim Corbett, or former Mayor Lou Davis, what they thought of a weak mayor system, they would tell you it works just fine because they were not afraid to use the bully pulpit. They were not afraid to use the power of the press. They were not afraid to engage themselves very much with both
feet. So leadership is an issue.
I think leadership is an issue. And frankly, and I don't want to put the blame just on the politicians. I think that our business community has a lot of responsibility because we've become really the abused spouse.
Let's continue this after the break. I'm going to remind listeners that even though this is an interview-driven show, the number here in the studio for call-ins is 790-2040. And with that, we're going to take a break and be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Hello?
Oh, we've got a caller. I'm sorry. Who's this?
This is American Dave.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in. I thought we were going to take a break. I guess not. Well, no, okay. I'm new here, so excuse the technical glitch.
Well, you folks are fantastic. This is for both gentlemen. I drive around Tucson every day, and I notice every day these storefronts get emptier and emptier. Like no person in, no company, and barbershops are closing up. I mean, everything. Why is that? Is business supposed to be so Tucson friendly? Why is people leaving?
Let's start with Vince.
Well, yeah, it's a pretty simple answer. It's something that's affecting everybody, not only here in Arizona but across this country. It's the economy. With the mortgage meltdown and the economic crisis that we've been in, everybody has been hit. Unemployment is approximately 9.4, I believe, percent in the state of Arizona. It's very difficult when people are not buying goods. Under that kind of an economic pressure where people are saving and holding on to every cent, and this is not just for consumers, but if you look at the big boys in the industry, you look at the banks, for example, which got those big bailouts. They didn't then lend the money, and they've been roundly criticized for that. They did not lend any money and free up capital, liquid capital, to then provide loans to both businesses and individuals across the country. So there's been both a credit crunch in terms of available liquid capital for businesses to then draw upon to make a business happen or to stay in business. And then on the retail front side of things, you have consumers that are just not spending dollars because they are worried about their own ability to pay for food, pay for medicine, pay for care of their family.
So you're really agreeing, I think, with what Bruce ended with in his last comment, that the responsibility here, some of the problems are not just on the part of politicians or on our structure, but actually a lot more complex than that.
I would agree with that if that's what Bruce was saying. I didn't catch that earlier, but
I think that's what you were saying.
Well, Vince wasn't listening. But Dave, the issue is complex, and leaving out the national part for just a second, sure. Let's talk about Tucson and Pima County. I've lived here in Tucson all of my life. I was born, raised, went to school here, raised our own family here, and I'm very proud of my home, our home here in Tucson, Arizona. I can't really say, though, that Tucson, Arizona is a place with much vision. And frankly, I can't say that Tucson, Arizona really has even kept control of the things that they have had. You know, whether it's spring training baseball, whether it is Hughes Raytheon, you know, we're at risk of losing some of the cornerstones of our community, and we've already lost several of the cornerstones.
Let's talk about that. We are going to go to a break now. I do want to pick up on this idea of vision and how the lack of a vision or an unclear vision or a vision that everybody doesn't necessarily agree with can cause stagnation. Go to break.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011, and the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
And we're back with Vince Robago and Bruce Ash. And we're examining the whole issue of, is Tucson, is Pima County a good place to do business? We'll be examining that all week. We welcome your calls at 790-2040. And we left just before the break with this idea of vision. Do we have a vision here in this community for what this community can be, needs to be, wants to be when it grows up? And if we do or don't have a vision, where can that vision come from? Where should it come from? I'm going to start with you this time, Bruce.
Well, I think, you know, one of the prime things that we ought to be doing more with, and it's not to say that we don't, but the University of Arizona should be a partner in anything that this city does to promote its vision of whatever the future is going to be. I like some of the things that appear to be developing with respect to student housing, market rate apartments in the downtown area for students and helping that district grow. But when you look at all of the innovation that goes on at the University of Arizona in all their research departments in the U of A Tech Center and so on, these are opportunities to start great new businesses for Tucson. And You know, I think we've sort of not specifically harvested all the opportunities, and I think we've also kind of self-limited ourselves as well. And I don't blame that on the city of Tucson or Pima County. I just don't think that these partnerships have really been cultivated and developed to the point that they need to be in order for us to have a forward view of the future.
Okay, Vince.
Well, you know, I think that whether it's the current form of let's take the city for example, the current form of government, whether you have the quote unquote weak mayor form of government or the strong mayor form of government, I would agree with Bruce that whoever is at the top does need to be a catalyst and a leadership have a leadership role in that vision. And it's true, the bully pulpit does speak a lot to that. And so there are though some structural changes that can happen and can be affected when you have the other form of government, when you have the strong mayor form of government, and structural changes in terms of who can hire or fire, let's say, department heads. So if you've got a department where there is maybe a process problem that's not being fixed by a department head, sometimes how you can have people in there or take them out can be a catalyst. But what I would go back to, though, is at the end of the day, you have had, I want to focus on the positive. You've had numerous forums, led by individuals where they've been community-wide forums, like what is going to be our community, President Peter Likens. You've had these community forums. You have currently ongoing, Imagine Greater Tucson going on. So there have been numerous visioning programs that have been out there. So to the extent it's not from a lack of putting out these ideas out there. But what I want to focus on is let's look at what are the specific positives. Like, let's say that certificate of occupancy issue. 66 new businesses, boom, immediately go into signing up for that. $360 million worth in permits, changes in the land use code, things that have been positively done, and we need to accentuate the positive and see what is happening, what has been done. The other part of it is with media shrinking, with citizens gone, now the stars shrinking, they're having economic problems.
Right.
It's harder and harder to get out the positive news of what is happening on the ground.
Let me, if I can, I want to dwell on that for just a moment, Vince and Shelley. In the past, 50s, 60s, and even in the 70s, both newspapers here in this town, as well as radio stations and TV stations, were driving forces in different growth initiatives that have gone on at the city of Tucson or within the city of Tucson and Pima County. We don't have the William Matthews these days. We don't have the John Rubies anymore. What we have are itinerant journalists and itinerant managers who come in working for the companies who really don't have the same sort, the sense of ownership of this place we call Tucson. And I think working in conjunction, when business people aren't afraid to sit down with governmental leaders and governmental leaders aren't afraid to sit down with the press and everybody really drive a vision. And Vince, with all due respect, certificates of occupancy are okay. I'm in the real estate business. I think they're really, really cool. But we need a bigger vision. It's who we're going to be. It's what we're going to be about. And it's that partnership with the university that I think that unfortunately we've been lacking now for so many years. And I'm hoping that whoever our next mayor is and whatever the composition of the Tucson City Council is, that's the direction that we'll be going in. And not to be afraid of, as Vince and I were talking about during the break, an unsmoke-filled room, but where people really talk about what we can do to grow this town and not to be worried about who's making what. Let's all make
right.
money. A rising tide lifts all
right.
boats.
That takes a lot of trust. And do you perceive that there's a lack of trust among the various stakeholders?
I would say that if there is, I think it's been promulgated by what I was referring to, by the shrinking outlet to get out the good news. So all you hear is this is bad news, or you hear sensationalized news because that's what sells copy.
I need to push back on you a little bit, Vince, I'm sorry. You've said this now three or four times during the course of this interview, and my fear when people are just expressing the good news is that we lose the motivation and the sense of urgency about talking about what needs to be fixed.
I agree with you 100%. The problem is that, as you've expressed from the beginning of this interview, is that there's been this long-standing image that it's bad, it's no good. So that's not,
well,
that, that's already,
it's because
that's
been
already.
Lot, it's been because there's, there has been a lot of
well,
bad things.
But it's out
we,
there, so on that point.
And we find ourselves where we're at today. There's been a legacy of nearly 40 years of Democrat rule in Tucson. And
oh, here
County.
We go.
Here
well,
we go to the part.
Well,
the
you know, part. How about giving it a change? I think we can look back at a time when there was Republican representation on the city council. Those were pretty much boom times.
Okay, so I'm
those, are, those are what brought us Brio Nuevo as well. So,
yeah,
you know, okay.
So let's stop. We have to break. This has been great. And we almost made it all the way through without
Bruce can't help himself.
Yeah, I understand. These are important issues. They're issues that we're going to continue to discuss during the week. I'd like to thank both you gentlemen. I wish we could do this week after week. And we're at a break.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Even though it never became the big city nightmare that forecasters had feared, Hurricane Irene and its aftermath are sending floodwaters of historic proportions inland throughout the Northeast. The number of dead has reached 35 across 10 states. The nation's largest mass transit system is up and running again after a weekend shutdown because of the storm. Bus service and all subways are operating again in New York City. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission is sending additional inspectors to the Virginia nuclear power plant, closest to the epicenter of last week's earthquake. Checking Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up 240 points, 11,524, the NASDAQ ahead, 77. More details at srnnews.com.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
We're back live in the studio. This is The Buckmaster Show. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster for today through Thursday. And we're looking at Pima County and the city of Tucson as places to do business, a place to move your business, a place to grow your business, and try to figure out what are the things that are good about doing business in Tucson and what are the things that are problematic. And because this is partly a political show and partly because responsibility for growing business lies to some extent with our local governments, I've asked Shirley Scott to join us, Councilwoman Shirley Scott. Councilwoman, you have been on the council now for how long?
This is finishing up my 16th year of fourth term.
Fourth term, wow. And you're running for a fifth.
A fifth term, yes. If I were to win this election, I'd be the first woman to do that in Ward 4.
Okay. So before we get to the election and some things that you'd like to talk about in terms of business in Tucson, you've been now in the city council through good times and bad times economically.
Absolutely, yes.
And first of all, how much of what goes on in Tucson from a business perspective, would you say is the responsibility of or can fall back on members of the city council and mayor to influence?
Well, I think that the mayor and council can help with regulations. We cannot deal with finances, which comes to into the other private sector hands. So a lot of people say in downtimes, they say, all right, government, why don't you come on in and do something about all this horrible recession we're in? And then in good times, when the economy is robust, the folks at the same time say, now, just get out of the way. We need to move ahead and make money. So you're always in a no-win situation. But the idea behind what government can do is to create the atmosphere or the playground or the infrastructure in which business can succeed. And that's what has been done.
Let me get right to it. Are we doing it?
Absolutely. There has been more done in the last 4 years than has ever been done. It's been unprecedented. And I know there are stories of the past, how difficult it was, how many regulations, misinterpretations or counterinterpretations of things that business people needed in order to move forward. But as I've said, in the last 4 years, this council has done more to be pro-business in terms of what we've passed, in terms of flexibility, and in terms of ordinances than has ever been done before.
So can you be specific? Can you actually kind of tell us some of the things over the past 4 years that this council has done to make Tucson a better place to do business?
Well, first of all, as has been said just prior to my arrival, many forums were held, and I held a Jobs for Tucson forum back in February of 2010, invited not only businesses but also labor, neighborhoods, and other interested parties to attend to tell me in these forums, which were very well attended, what it is about the city that could be done to help create the atmosphere in which jobs could flourish. And as a result, six of those things that they recommended, and I have about 100, but we took the low-hanging fruit, needless to say, first.
Okay, let's pick some of that fruit.
Okay, if you have a plan that you wanted to get into place, we've extended the life of approved plans. You've got a plan, but you don't have money. We've extended the approved plans from 1 to 5 years.
Okay.
That didn't exist before. There's the deferral of elements of the land use code for up to 5 years. So that would help you get going. A deferral.
Can I say more about that? I'm not sure our audience necessarily understands the land use code and why deferring certain parts of it Well, might be important.
If for either new or old relocations, the parking requirements, the sign code, all those kinds of things that are built into the building code and into the actual land use code, those have been made more flexible. Yes, you have to meet them, but you don't have to meet them up front where it costs more money. The business of getting into the business and the location is number one priority. Therefore, once you do that, then later you can come up with those requirements as time allows, and you are given 5 years. So that's a very big leap forward.
So if I understand you correctly, and I'm sure this isn't across the board, but there are certain elements of the land use code that you have 5 years to come into compliance with?
Yes.
And does that mean after you start your business or while you're still getting started?
Well, you get a chance to start, get in, get your certificate of occupancy.
Okay.
Then you get in. And by the way, that rule has been made more flexible. The certificate of occupancy has been made more flexible for those who are moving into old locations for new business. So you can delay some of the requirements for upgrades and parking requirements and that kind of thing for up to a period of 5 years, and in some cases you don't need as many parking requirements as was required before.
Okay, let's keep on That's going good. Down the list. It's fascinating.
So the there are some increased signage allowances along certain scenic corridors.
Okay.
And there are three scenic corridors designated currently in the city of Tucson city limits. Of the three, only one will be affected by this. And the reason why it's only one, and that's Houghton Road, where signs are allowed to go in, is because on the other scenic corridors, you have 150-foot right-of-way. On the Houghton scenic corridor, you have a 200-foot right-of-way. So that's where that last 50 feet closer to the property line of the new business, where they could put in discrete signs. This is not an availability to put up large and obnoxious signs, but certainly to allow more signage. Currently on Houghton Road, there are a number of businesses that are not able to sign where they are, and they're not flourishing as a result. And I had asked for, and has been passed, that they should be allowed to go ahead and put in a sign that says, "Here's our nursery. Here's where a bicycle place is located, and while you're on the tour to Tucson, you need something, go ahead and go in here. We have one locally here."
Do you have any comparative information as to how our codes compare with cities around the country that have had problems in the past developing their internal infill and attracting business, but have succeeded? And the cities that come to mind are San Antonio and Austin and Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland. These are cities that were in decline and managed to pull themselves up. How do our codes compare?
Well, back in 2006, the City of Tucson Council at that time decided that the land use code was overburdened and difficult and not customer friendly. And we hired a company to come in and do an analysis. They did that over a period of almost 2 years. They said, "Here's what's wrong." And we said, "We understand and we thank you for that. Now we want you to go forward and move to consolidating those things that occur on different pages that say different things, bring them all under one page and make it usable."
And I know that effort is underway. Where does it stand right now?
They're going to wrap up their work very shortly. I don't have a timeline because you never know how those are going to change, but they do have a timeline. They will be finishing that, and that will be presented to the Tucson City Council for review, and certainly it has to pass muster with city staff that deals with these regulations.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about something that Bruce and Vince and I were talking about, and that has to do with the role of mayor and council vis-a-vis the role of the department heads and the city manager. Does that make it more difficult to get things done in the city?
Well, actually, the city council representatives and the mayor come from the community, and that's where they get shall we say, their sensitivity to issues. I was not a bureaucrat before. As a matter of fact, I'm the one person sitting at the council table that helped build a business with my husband that was successful, a small business for 30 years. I understand what the difference is between writing on the back of the check versus the front of the check. And we did that successfully. So we are the eyes and ears, if you will, of the community and the sensitivity to the issues that the community is worried about. Now, people who are inside City Hall already are the ones who run the ordinances, abide by the regulations. They're the ones that can check us and say, well, that idea that you brought to the table, I understand, but it is illegal. We can't do that because. Their job is to help facilitate the needs and wants as expressed to the mayor and council by the community and then carry them out.
You see, it seemed to be singing the praises of bureaucracy. That's a not often sung song.
Well, I'm not exactly praising them. I'm saying that's been their job. Their job is to know the codes. The supervisors should know the codes, know the regulations and ordinances, and not well enough to be able to exercise their rules onto the community. Let's say that everybody's talking about a particular issue in the community. You bring that to the table. You say to the manager, Mr. Manager, we think this is a high priority item. We want you to take it to the appropriate folks within the bureaucracy that you are managing. And then they will come back with reasons for and against, or all for, why you can or cannot do certain things.
Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to deal with a couple of issues. Number one, I'd like to talk about this whole idea of, are they doing their job well? Are you happy with the way they're doing their job? And then are there things that can be done to help them out? And specifically, this whole idea of an ombudsman. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Kolb and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Thank you.
And we're back live in the studio. This is the Bill Buckmaster Show, and this is not Bill Buckmaster. This is Shelley Fishman on a day that is a very good day for the markets. And so I'm up and having a great time, and I'm here with Councilwoman Shirley Scott. It's primarily an interview-driven show, but Shirley has kindly agreed to take your calls. We'd like them to be very specific. If you have specific questions for Councilwoman Scott, please don't hesitate to call in at 790-2040. And Councilwoman, we were talking a little bit about the idea that the way we're structured in this city, we depend a lot on city staff and department heads to get things done. And you were saying that they're probably not doing a bad job of it. So I'm just wondering, are you happy with the speed of the way permits get issued and the consistency of rules? And I know we're talking about changing the land use code so we get the internal contradictions out of there. But you know, people do criticize and they say it's a tough place to do business. Is it?
Well, I can tell you without being very specific, there was one restaurant chain that wanted to come into the city and it wanted to go into the county. And the difference between the two was about $200,000 difference on the county side because of fees. And
that higher in the county.
Higher in the county. And it was easier and faster and cheaper to come into the city. And that's just one example that I'm aware of. And those are the kinds of stories we need to be out and about talking about. Because I do know that in the past, and believe me, I've lived through this, in the past there were some problems, a lot of them, and people were complaining vigorously. Well, that's why I had that Jobs for Tucson event. I have a long list of people who had grievances. I now have a list that I'm working with. We've gotten six of those done. I'm very pleased to do that, and I've got some more in the works right now that are coming forward.
Talk about some of those. Let's give you an opportunity to
shamelessly
self-promote.
Well, we've made significant changes to the parking requirements that I talked about. Mm-hmm. We have a certificate of occupancy, which is such that once you get into the place, we allow you to get in with a temporary certificate and then make improvements that are required but not safety or hazardous.
And that's passed.
These are things that are passed.
Okay.
That weren't there before. There are new processes and procedures in the planning department that will expedite your business plan, whether it's small or big business, to help with all sizes of business get going. We've created a number of stakeholder groups to be sure to come together on a regular basis with their own chair, with their own monitoring, and not city staff there, and talking with them amongst themselves to make things work. We've created a labor group, a jobs group, and we're doing the same thing for the business community to let them come up with ideas separately and working to, as we go along. As policies and ordinances come forward, we pass those off to the labor group and to the business group, even including the small business.
Sure. Does council get enough input from the business community? I know you get lots of criticism from the business community. Criticism is easy. Are you getting good, positive suggestions from the business community as to the things that need to be improved?
Well, we certainly are all. My door, for sure, has always been open to that because Ward 4.
But are people knocking?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have people coming all the time. And the kinds of things that I do in response to that is to try to create those ordinances and policies at the table that are acceptable to the rest of my council members. You always need a few more people to help vote some of these things in. But we have done those things. For example, how about being able to forego initially paying your impact fee up front? Let's say you have a business and you're about to put in a brand new development and you have to pay an impact fee of, say, $800,000. That's a lot of money. But if you were able to defer that until after your project was in the ground and you were beginning to see a profit, you could then take that opportunity to start to pay those impact fees at that time.
When you take a look at the total fees that are required to start a business in this community, are they higher, lower, or just about right compared to other business communities with which we compete?
I think that they are competitive in some areas. They're not as competitive in another area. But I know that there is such a thing as a waiver of fees depending on the number of jobs you bring, the wages that they're going to earn, and a whole lot of host of other things
Whose
like that.
Whose responsibility is it to get out there and bring those companies to Tucson and show them what a great place this is?
Well, we have an economic development arm called TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunity Group. They get out there and they actually shake the bushes and try to entice people to come in. For example, the Target Fulfillment Center, which is almost 1 million square feet out located in Ward 4 near the Science and Tech Park out there. That is a direct result of their fishing for good businesses to come into this community. Another one is the American Cannery, a Mexican family that has been dealing with canning and manufacturing food goods. Decided to locate out in that same area I just referred to and take over the old SlimFast facility. They redid it, and they are now functioning and proving to be excellent.
So the old SlimFast facility was actually the new SlimFast facility. They didn't last long, did they?
Well, they did not. But then we have this family that came in from Mexico, first time ever that they decided to invest in the United States of America soil, and there they are.
So why does SlimFast and Pella Windows and Weiser Lock and the companies that we made big headlines of moving to this community over the past, 10, 15 years. They're not here anymore. Why do they leave?
Their corporate decisions are based on, and I'm not a corporate person and behind reading their books, but it's based on probably labor and costs and transportation costs. You've got to have that happy medium of costs versus revenues, expenses versus revenues. If your particular business goes down, or you can find a better place that is maybe offshore where you can do the same thing for less money.
So you don't think the reason for their leaving had to do with the fact that it was Tucson, that other things were driving those decisions.
Other things were definitely driving
those
things.
We just don't have a critical mass enough not to have been really adversely affected when one of those companies might have left. I'd like to take a call. We've got a bunch of them stacked up, and I'm going to take at least one. We've only got 4 minutes to go.
Okay.
So who's on? Jim.
Am I on the air?
Yes.
You are. Jim, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call. I have noticed a shift in development services, and I think that some of what the council's been doing has added to that and helped at least the attitude of development services to get some projects through. So thanks for your help. Councilwoman.
Absolutely.
You have a question.
Well, yeah, my question is with the Parkwise scandal that broke, one of my projects, I had a lot of subcontractors that were getting excessive tickets on it. And I was concerned for my subcontractors and also the environment where we have some of the highest tickets in the country. And do you know if we're going to see any accountability through the Parkwise department from the recent scandal that broke? And how do you kind of see that playing out?
Well, as you may know, I have asked for an executive discussion of this very matter coming up on one of the first council meetings. Unfortunately, Mr. Letcher won't be there for the September 7th, but on the 14th, we will have a very good executive session on exactly that, asking for accountability and what is now in place for those kinds of things. And if your folks are getting excessive tickets, I sure would like to know how that's happening. And if you wouldn't mind calling my office and giving me that information at 791-3199, I'd be happy to look at that and certainly inquire.
Okay. Thank you, Jim, for the question. We're drawing to the close here. And while I have Councilwoman Scott, I want to ask a question that maybe is 2 minutes isn't enough to answer it. But the question regards vision and the conflict between the communities and the business community, the neighborhoods. How does that affect? How bad is that, and how can we fix it?
You know, it's a balancing act. Everything has to be in balance. Mm-hmm. You need good, flourishing businesses in order to create revenue and jobs for everyone when all boats rise. But then on the other hand, we live in a very precious area, and we have to make sure that the Sonoran Desert is not scraped and raped and left in a bad shape. So it's that balance between your right as a homeowner to live in peace and not have backup trucks dinging every 2 seconds when you're trying to sleep at night while they make deliveries. That balancing act against the need for that truck to come into that place, deliver the goods so you can go in the morning and go buy some of those things. So it's always a very excellent example of what we need to be cautioned about with regard to letting one take the lead over the other. It's always a balance.
What keeps you awake at night?
Whether or not we are going to be able to do the right thing in balancing all of these things. Neighborhoods need to be left in sanctity. The businesses need to have a good place to flourish. You need to have a great environmental protection spot on your agenda. You need to make sure that all of these things, all these voices are totally balanced, and is one getting ahead of the other, and that's the kind of thing.
Councilwoman Scott, thank you for coming. This is a great interview. I wish we had another 2 hours. We don't. So, again, good luck in your quest for a fifth term.
Thank you.
And let's see. I'm going to wrap it up here. I've got a couple of things to say. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants located at 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at www.flowersrieger.com. And tomorrow we will be here with, we've got Ray Lancaster, we've got Jonathan Rothschild. It's going to be a great show tomorrow, and Rose is telling me to wrap it up, so see you tomorrow.
Cortero Tucson, 930 KAPR Douglas, and 1240 KJAA Club.